When you come to a house with children in the house, sometimes you find a strange work of art. You sometimes find it on a door frame. You sometimes find it on a wall. There are little lines, one above the other. And alongside these lines is a date. Can anyone guess what this artwork is? Of course, it's the height of one of the children. They're measuring the height as the child grows up. It's so exciting for a child to see, I'm a little bit taller than I was. I'm a big boy now. I'm a big girl now. At least I'm a little bit of a bigger boy or a bigger girl. When I was a teenager, I was quite short for my age. And I remember when I was being confirmed at the age of 13, and we had a group photo taken, I had to stand on a bucket so I was seen in the photo and not obscured by the people in front of me. That wasn't a good feeling. I wanted to be tall and grow up as well. I couldn't wait to grow up. We want to grow. We want to grow up. It's natural. Today's Bible reading is all about growing up. This month of August, we are reading through a book of the Bible called The Letter to the Ephesians. And just a very quick recap, if you weren't here last Sunday when Francis gave an introduction. This is a letter written by a person called Paul to the Christians in the city of Ephesus, which is in modern-day Turkey. Paul was a church planter. He invited people to follow Jesus and to form little communities where they lived. And so one of those communities, one of those churches, developed in that town of Ephesus. And that got him and those new Christians into trouble, because those who began to follow Jesus recognized only him as the supreme Lord and God, and none of the other so-called gods. Of course, if you know your history, the emperor, Caesar, was worshipped as a god in the Roman Empire. So that got the new Christians straight away into trouble. And as a result, some of them were locked up and thrown into prison. And Paul writes this letter from prison. The letter has two parts. In the first part, Paul reminds the Ephesians of the amazing good news that he has preached to them. How history comes to a climax in Jesus, the Son of God. How we can know God's forgiveness and grace through him. How he was crucified, rose again, and promises eternal life to all those who trust in him. And how we are all adopted into God's worldwide family through Jesus, sons and daughters of God. They heard this good news and they said, we want to follow this Jesus, so what do we do? Then and now, we respond to the good news of Jesus in two ways. Firstly, we leave our old life behind, as the words of the baptism just said. We leave our old life behind, we make a U-turn, and we begin to live God's way by following Jesus. The Bible calls this U-turn repentance. And secondly, as an outward sign of this radical change, we are baptized. But of course, baptism is not the end of the journey, it's the beginning of this new life. When we are baptized, we have a lot of growing up to do. And that's not only true for children such as Harper, who obviously has a lot of growing up to do, but for everyone who's being baptized, those who are baptized as adults as well. They need to grow up in this new life that God is giving them. And so the second part of this letter talks about how the life and teaching of Jesus should affect our whole lives. Take a look with me again at the beginning of this passage on the inside pages of the white news sheet. The very first words. And there it starts by saying, I therefore. Paul says, you have heard all about the good news of Jesus and responded. Therefore, as a prisoner in the Lord, I beg you to lead a life worthy of the calling to which you have been called. The calling is the same for every Christian, calling people to believe in Jesus as the risen Lord and King, and to give him complete and undivided allegiance for the rest of their lives, putting Jesus first. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, as Paul puts it in our reading. And then Paul continues to beg them, don't stay babies. Don't stay babies. Grow up. Imagine the scene. We're in a school and a boy is being teased by a friend and he starts to cry. And he starts to cry and keeps crying, hoping that the teacher will come and take his side. And then the friend says, don't be a baby. And the friend suddenly thinks, my friend is right. I can stand my own ground. I don't need the teacher to sort out our little fight. He grows up a little bit more. Of course, it would be cruel to say to a crying baby, such as Harper, don't be a baby. Because she is one. She has a lot of growing up to do. She needs the parents and friends and carers to be around her, to sacrificially look after her, sometimes day and night, so that she can grow up into a healthy, happy, confident person. And in the same way, we all must grow up in our Christian life. Let's look at verse 15 together. That's towards the end, where Paul says this, but speaking the truth in love, we must grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ. The goal is to become more like Jesus Christ. It's the tragedy of many Christians that they make a good start. They turn around. They receive this new life from God. But then they stop growing. They remain babies. Maybe because growing up is often painful. Parents know all about it. You know, the teething pains of a child is painful. And then later, teenagers know all about the pains of a sudden growth spurt. In our day and age, more and more people are opting for a painless life, anesthetizing, suppressing all the pain by getting more stuff, more entertainment, drink, overwork. The list is endless. All these things shield them from the pain of growing up. Paul says, allow the pain of growing up. Face the truth. Don't be a baby. How do we grow up in this spiritual life? Well, we've just looked at verse 15. St. Paul says, by speaking the truth in love. And that's a tough one. Speaking the truth in love. There are lots of people in our world today who are quite happy to slap people around the ears with what they think is the truth and then walk away. The internet is a great place to deposit your opinion, often in very rude words, and then to walk away. And they think they've done their job. But that's not how we grow up, says Paul. I fear that speaking the truth in love, because it's so difficult, has gone out of fashion. There are those who are quite happy to speak the truth, but completely lack love. And there are others who believe that we should never impose our truth or any truth on other people. Let's just all be nice to each other and find our own way. But of course, every parent knows that this way lies madness. A child needs guidance and correction in the context of a loving home. If your 3-year-old decides to run out of the front door and onto a very busy road, you don't think, oh well, they need to find their own way. Of course you don't. You chase after them. You pull them back. And you tell them, this is not the way to behave, because it's dangerous, out of love. God could have left us to our own devices, but he chased after us, sending Jesus to show us the way. And now, Paul says, it's time to grow up by speaking the truth in love to one another. When I was a child, I think I was about 5 years old, I took some money that wasn't mine to keep. And I lived in constant fear that I might be found out. But what a relief when my parents did find out. There were tears, there was forgiveness, and there was a new start. Can you imagine how humbled and proud I felt when my mum entrusted me again with some money to go to the shops and buy something for her? I was growing up a little because my parents had spoken the truth in love. When you read through the gospel accounts of Jesus' life, that's what he always does when he meets people. He confronts them with their deepest failings and needs so that they can turn to him to receive healing, to have their needs met. He tells the woman at the well that she's had 5 husbands. He tells a rich young man first to give all his wealth away and then to follow him. Not because wealth is evil in itself, but because wealth was his God, held him back from following Jesus fully. In a Bible commentary, I read this: the gospel is bad news before it is good news. The living water of grace is sweet only to those who know the bitter taste of their own sin. Jesus knows you and me inside out. He knows our deepest and truest needs. And in his love, he will confront us with it. God knows you completely, and he loves you completely. Wow. God knows you completely, and he loves you completely. What a relief when we can pour out our weakness, our shame, our failings, our need to him and receive forgiveness and a new life. That's why we need to speak the truth in love to grow up. However, we must not forget the love part. I have no right to point out your faults or your weaknesses if it's not done out of deep love and care for you, and out of a desire that you might grow up in your Christian life. In another letter, Paul gives this advice: whatever is true, honourable, just, pure, commendable, think, and by implication, speak about such things. I do think, however, that in the church, we often err on the side of superficial love without truth. Over many years, I've learned, often the hard way, not to let conflicts go underground, but to find a way of dealing with them in a loving way. And that's hard. It's hard to make someone understand that I am actually confronting some issue that's there. That's the elephant in the room, because I love them and because I want us both to keep growing as we follow Jesus. Because if we don't, these conflicts will continue to fester and eventually cause much more damage. Psalm 51, which Charlotte read earlier, is a prayer by King David after the prophet Nathan had told him how badly he had gone wrong. David had committed adultery with another man's wife, and then he had sent this wife's husband to the front line to be killed, to cover things up. The prophet confronted David with this terrible truth. And David didn't justify himself. He didn't say, well, I'm the king, I can do what I like. No, he knew that he served a greater king and that he had done wrong. And so he prayed, create in me a clean heart, O God, and put a new and right spirit within me. The Bible calls King David a man after God's own heart. And that has often puzzled me when you look at the life of David. A man after God's own heart, warts and all, because he was determined to grow up and become a man of God. You and I need godly friends who speak the truth to us because they love us. You and I need to immerse ourselves in the Bible and in prayer so that God's Holy Spirit can speak truth to us, so that we become more like Jesus. Otherwise, we will remain babies. Edward and I were on holiday last Sunday. We were visiting family, which was lovely. And on the Sunday, we went to church. And in that particular service, they asked three young people to come out to the front. And these three young people, all grown up as children and teenagers in that particular faith community, had done their A-levels and were about to launch out on their gap year. And all of them told us what they were going to do for the next year. And it was amazing to hear how each one of them was committing 1 year of their life to make a difference for God somewhere in the world, in their own country or in a different part of the world, giving a year of their life for Jesus. I was deeply moved. These were children who had been helped to grow up by their families and by their church family to become mature Christians. And I was saying, God, this is my prayer for our church, that we will be such a church who send out young people who have grown up, not just physically, but also in their Christian life as followers of Jesus, and then say, God, what do you want me to do with the rest of my life? I want to serve you. The good news is that we don't have to be young. We don't have to be able to do a gap year or to travel the world to give our whole life to the adventure of following Jesus. Paul says, constantly spur one another on so that you grow up, so that you become more like Jesus and discover what it means to follow him. Welcome to the Christian adventure.